You found Primetime Action with Gil Alexander and Matt Brown on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Hour number two of VSiN's Primetime Action. Glad you could hang with us tonight. It's Gil Alexander, Matt Brown, and Kelly Bidlin. If you are new to the show and you're like, what are these guys all about? Well, we're all about sports betting, and everything we talk about is not really sports talk radio, though we will drift from time to time, but we always ask permission to go sports talk radio. Have you noticed that about us?
Yes.
2 minutes of sports talk radio,
yes.
Please? Otherwise, it's all about doing, really watching sports through the lens, through the prism of sports betting. We are all about making money, and really not just about sort of imposing how we bet on others, but just looking at the gamut of how people bet. And injecting our opinion when we see fit to do so, but we are certainly not believers that our way is the only way.
Gil, 30 seconds. Let me tell you why LeBron's better than Michael Jordan.
That's once a week on every sports talk. Colin
show.
Coward will tell you, I could do that every day and people will still listen to that.
Oh,
every
they would. Day. Yeah, they would. And they go for 30 minutes, not 30 seconds.
That's right. Yeah. Kelly, let's have an update of everything going on.
Yeah, let's hit the NBA games here going on. The Hornets on top of the Magic, 57-55, 2:52 remaining in the second quarter. The Hornets, a 4.5-point live favorite, 234.5 is your live total. The Pelicans lead the Hawks right now, 22-15, 4:30 remaining in the first. Atlanta still a live betting favorite, 1.5 points, and 221.5 is your live total in that game. The Wizards lead the Celtics right now, 21-18, 2 minutes remaining in the first quarter. The Celtics still a live betting favorite, 3.5 points, 215.5 is your live total. The Heat on top of the Nets, 23-18, 3 minutes remaining in the first. Nets, 1.5-point live favorite, 217.5 is the total there in Brooklyn. And the Pacers and Raptors. Raptors lead right now 22-18, 225 remaining in the first quarter. Raptors 3.5-point live favorite, 210.5 is your live total. Over in the NHL, a few games in progress. You got the Capitals up on the Red Wings, 1-0, second period just beginning there in D.C. Capitals minus 400 live, Red Wings plus 300, 5.5 live total. End of one down in South Florida. The Panthers and Bruins all tied at one. No live line currently up. The Blackhawks with an early 2-0 lead over the Maple Leafs. 7:40 remaining in the first period. Blackhawks minus 180 live. Maple Leafs plus 150. 6.5 your live total.
Only undefeated still left in the NBA. Short season, only 4 games in, really, for anybody. Warriors 4-0, Bulls 4-0, the Jazz 3-0. The only winless teams, the Pistons in the East, and the Thunder in the West. Thunder could go to 0-5 if they lose to the Lakers tonight.
Yeah, Kelly, I mean, I asked John about it, and honestly, you know, your opinion as well, but if you watch that, man, and you kind of see that game last night, I don't really care what the argument is with, like, oh, well, okay, well, Embiid's nicked up. Well, that was one of my points about, okay, well, if he gets nicked up, there's not enough talent on that team without Ben Simmons out there creating and whatever for these ancillary players,
yep,
for them to win a bunch of games. And you're like, okay, well, maybe he wasn't nicked up or something like that. Then if he just had a horrible game, then that's probably bad too, because they're going to lose most of the times that he has a horrible game, because there's not a lot of guys that can step up and play on, you know, at the level to get the job done whenever he's not having a good game. So people that were making excuses today, I'm kind of like, well, I don't think either one of those is a good thing. Like, if he's nicked up, then they're going to lose. If he just had a bad game, then they're going to lose. Like, there's not a lot of room for error with this team without a guy out there that, yes, I understand Ben Simmons is not the guy that's going to go out there and score 30 points a game. But it's very underrated, the defense that he plays and what he creates for all those ancillary players.
He's one of the best transition players in the league on offense. He gets to the rim as a guy who's usually defended by smaller players. I mean, that's all a big deal. And honestly, I think a lot, I agree with you. You know, frankly, I'm going to bring up a guy that me and you have disagreed a little bit on in the past. It's Tobias Harris.
Yeah.
And just because he's a guy that is getting paid like he should be able to play like a superstar. And to me, he's not quite at that level. That's where the NBA gets tricky. He's not at that level. But if you're going to have a guy like Ben Simmons out, he's got, and if Embiid's going to miss any time, you're talking about a guy who has to be carrying the team throughout that period of time. So I'm with you. That's why, I mean, I made a season, the win total under bet. You made the miss of playoffs. Yeah. I think you're both good bets, because if Embiid is out, I think this team is going to struggle. And having said all that, that is where, listen, Ben Simmons, I still think there's this. I think this should end right in a trade between the Sixers and somebody else because of everything you just said. Ben Simmons can be a huge asset to another team if Ben Simmons is willing to realize what kind of players he needs to be to help out another team. Oh. I mean, there's a little bit of, you know, he thinks he's still a superstar that can do everything, and he can't.
And if Daryl Morey and the Sixers realize you're not getting what you want for Ben Simmons,
right.
Like easy with the leverage you think you have here. You'll get something. You'll get something good, but it's not what you want. Because what they asked for earlier was ridiculous. Real quick on the NBA, both of you have Chris Duarte tickets on Rookie of the Year, 30-1, and in your case, another one at 25-1. He's at plus 750 now. For those listening for the first time, would you recommend a bet on Duarte at plus 750 for Rookie of the Year?
So one of the things that rang true, and listen, this is totally us, you know, using the leverage of some of our experts here on the network, but one of the things that certainly rings true is he's going to get the minutes every night, at least for a while. So he has kind of like the leg up on a lot of these guys.
So that's I wouldn't bet it now. To answer your question, I would not bet it now because – Frankly, he's probably either just going to get shorter from here on out, or it's going to be a bad bet when guys like T.J. Warren and other guys start getting back into that lineup.
T.J. Warren.
And then he starts coming off the bench, which I would think is what's going to happen. And then if he comes off the bench, it's a different role, right? You don't even know how he's going to react to that. He has found his footing, it seems. We're four games into the season?
Yeah,
they're 1-3. Four games into the season, we think he's found his footing in that starting lineup, but can he adjust to that sixth man role or something like that? And that's not always easy for guys. That's something that sometimes takes a while to transition to. So I don't know. My two bets on Rookie of the Year are Duarte and Jalen Green. I still think Jalen Green is the guy that's going to be the guy at the end of the day. We've already seen some play. Every night there's a play from him that you're just like, man, this kid is special. What I bet him now? No, I wouldn't bet him now with those short odds probably, but I think that's who it's going to be at the end of the day.
The Pacers will definitely have some sort of decision to make, though, because, I mean, yeah, short sample size, very small sample size. Yeah, he's averaging 20 points a game.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, you know, like, are you taking those 20 points and putting them on the bench and having him come out and do a different role? There is at least a little bit of a decision to be made, I think.
All right, guys, serious business time.
Yes.
Because we only have 90 seconds here before our first pitch. First home run. You can bet on this.
Home run. I have to go last, right, because I won?
No, you're first because you won.
No, it's not make it, take it. He goes to the back.
Wait a minute. I won on the football, so I went first yesterday.
Yeah.
Yeah, but the football and baseball aren't related.
Oh, that's right.
Remember,
okay.
we had to make that clear last week.
Okay. Yes. So he's
all the rules, Gil. It's all the rules.
So many rules.
So many rules.
Go ahead.
This show comes with a manual.
Fine.
All right.
I think you're first.
I'm first?
And then me and then Matt.
We'll just do that. You guys do your thing.
Yordan Alvarez. First home run. Again, we are actually not betting these. We will tell you when we bet stuff for real, which we have on this show. But this is just a skins game, if you will, between Kelly, Matt, and I. So I'm going to Yordan Alvarez again tonight.
I'm going to go with Austin Riley.
Wow.
And your reasoning behind that is?
What's that?
I said your reasoning behind that is?
No, that's what the crew's telling me in my ear. I said, who are we going with, guys? And then they changed their mind three times.
That's what the crew
And then
is
they changed their mind three times.
Freddie Freeman.
So that's who Isaiah changed his mind from. So I kind of hope Freddie Freeman hits one now so I can just destroy
him. Well, Matt will have the first chance.
Isaiah Von Ringel.
Freddie Freeman batting second, of course, for the Braves. The visiting team will bat first, so Matt will have the first go at it, just like he had the first go at it last night, and Jorge Soler parked one.
A little bit of an emotional hedge here, too, you know? Like, I got that emotional hedge. Oh. Like, it's like, okay, well, at least if I'm going to see this team I have this
The
huge...
$40 will make up for your future,
No,
right?
But I mean, you know, it feels good. Like, a little bit of a win feels good. Like, I'll tell you, know, it's sometimes it's just the win, Gil. You just want, you know, looking for the win.
Yeah, I understand.
And y'all's money, let's be honest, y'all's money is way sweeter than
the
sportsbook money.
That's what I said on Monday. I said, hey, listen, I could win that Juan Soto MVP for lots and lots of cash, but somehow that $80.
Y'all's money is a little sweet. It spins just a little sweeter. I'm gonna hold on to it, too, and buy something special.
About to start here now at Minute Maid. Game two of the World Series. The World Series matchup that everyone expected. The Braves and the Astros, right? Boy, oh boy. Braves at 1-0, and Eddie Rosario will take his hacks against Jose Urquidy to start things off again. Closing number, Astros minus 121. Braves plus 111 on the dime line, and we're underway at Minute Maid, as they say.
Rosario, Freeman, Albies, Riley, Soler, Peterson, Duval, D'Arno, and Swanson for the Braves on the Astros side. Altuve, Brantley, Bregman, Alvarez, Correa, Tucker, Gurriel, Siri, and Maldonado.
Siri was a bit of a surprise earlier in this postseason. He's back in the lineup once again. Eddie Rosario, 2-for-5 already in this series. He was the NLCS MVP, and you could still get him as the was he the short shot along with Freddie Freeman? Yes, for World Series MVP at this
plus
point.
Plus 850, I believe.
Plus 850 for both of them. So we'll follow this game all night long. A little later on, we'll do our NFL power rankings. Oh, we got that tonight, gentlemen. Our NFL power rankings, just the top 10. And we've been doing this now for a few weeks. This will be our third week doing
it. Third week. A lot of drama, a lot of arguing the first couple weeks.
And now, by the way.
Calling, shaming.
I won't give anything away. What I'll tease is that all three of us are clearly digging our heels in the sand on certain positions that we have.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I'd be curious to see if all three of us have, just like we all removed the Cleveland Browns from the top 10 last week, if we've all removed the Chiefs from the top 10 this week. That will be interesting to see. That and other things. We'll do that later on. I will also talk to Pete Futak on college football. Got to get some thoughts on the college football weekend as well as we track Game 2 of the World Series all night long. Strikeout to begin things. Urquidy, Fanning, Rosario. We're underway. It's VSiN's Primetime Action. Settle in. Again, first five bet on the Braves here. Our only pre-flop, though Kelly has what in basketball? Who are you on? Real quick.
Kings Under tonight.
Kings Under. There you go. Coming back. VSiN's Primetime Action.
You are looking live at Primetime Action with Gil Alexander and Matt Brown on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Back on Primetime Action, Gil, Matt, and Kelly, glad you could join us tonight. A two-out swinging infield hit for Ozzie Albies, a ball that never got to third base. Just trickled down the third base line and stayed fair.
In the box score, that was a screaming line drive.
That's right. And now, Freddie Freeman... did not hit a home run.
No, he just didn't look right in that at bat. He, you know, guys, if I'd have seen him in warmups, maybe I'd have known not to pick Frederick. But it's
but now Kelly's
not good for me.
Kelly, your guy's up. Austin Riley.
Let's go, Austin Riley.
I would love for Austin Riley to hit one out, give me a 2-0 lead in the first five bet.
You could ask Kelly which team his guy played for, and he might not have known.
He might not have known.
You're my favorite third baseman. Did I get it?
Yeah, you did know that.
Nailed it.
Yeah, you got it.
Oh, now it's up at third baseman. Yep.
No, you got it.
Did you guys know he was hitting .244 in the postseason? Because that's why I chose.
Because you did.
That's what matters for home runs.
That's what matters for you.
Because I did not.
Did we make any football wagers? Did you add any football wagers to your account today? Because I did.
You did? What did you add? I do have a game I want to talk about, though. I'm glad you brought this up.
This is a rare football bet that was not my own. But there's a gentleman who's having a scorching year, good friend of mine, the great Dr. Bob, right? And he loves the Carolina Panthers this week, getting 3 points. Did we have word that Christian McCaffrey could be back?
I don't think he is going to be back, no.
All right. I hadn't seen that.
So
catching three right now at the Falcons.
So I went ahead and put in because he loved it, I didn't go crazy, but I went ahead and put a small wager. That's a base hit for Austin Riley.
That didn't leave the yard, though.
No, it did not. First and second now. Two
Keep
out.
Running.
Two
Inside out. The park. Come on.
Two out noise for the Braves. Let's go. Let's get on the board first. Anyway, so he loved Carolina. So I went and put in a very small wager because I'm not betting these things ATS anymore. I'm just doing teasers or nothing. But because he was just over the moon about this wager, and I don't know his reasoning why, I did put in a small thing on the Panthers catching three in their ball game this week against. Who's Carolina playing again, real quick?
At the Falcons.
At the Falcons. That's correct.
That's interesting. He likes how I'm.
It's a game I want nothing to do.
I'm pretty
honest.
Well. I mean, listen. I don't like this whole. I mean, we're looking at a team that decided they wanted to bench their quarterback.
They did bench their quarterback, and then PJ didn't cooperate.
Yeah, it's. I don't know, man. That's interesting. The problem for me with this Panthers team is just this defense that we thought was probably getting elevated because of competition. at the beginning of the season has definitely come back down to earth. And more than anything, the one thing that I did think was going to stand was typically if you have a pass rush, you still like kind of that carries over, right? At least maybe not at the rate that they had at the beginning of the year with some of the teams they were playing, but you still kind of like see that move forward. And that has just not happened for them. Like the pass rush is just non-existent, which if that was still there, I think I would be taking the points for sure.
I do wonder if one thing you touched upon there, though, is at play here, right? They are the consummate, thus far through seven games of the season, they are the consummate bully, right? They beat up on the bad teams and do not on the somewhat good teams. So, this is the Falcons. Falcons aren't scaring anybody either. So Sam yes. Darnold will be starting once again, and we'll see. Jets yeah. fans out there are like, oh, boy, Sam Darnold.
Yeah, I mean, something's going to have to give here because when you look, both of these teams, I mean, the Carolina Panthers, if you look at their advanced metrics on the offensive side of the ball after, at least a couple of decent games to begin the season, they really came back down to earth. They're 30th overall DVOA now, 31st according to Pro Football Focus, but then they're going up against the 30th overall defense according to DVOA. In Atlanta, Pro Football Focus has them at 24th. They get no pressure whatsoever, so Darnold at least should have a clean pocket the most of the time. They're 30th in pressure rate and 26th in pass rush win rate. So,
Lair just got under that. Just got under that. It just goes foul. Oh, boy.
We'd have had a rollover moment.
He's at It's just a millimeter away from a three-run over.
Almost
there.
A rollover moment right there. And then this Carolina defense, like I said, I mean, this was the one that we were skeptical of this one. Now, some of these other defenses that have gotten better, we were like, they might actually be better. But we were pretty skeptical of this, and it kind of has panned out here as the schedule got tougher. We remember when across the board, we're 3 weeks into the season, and then the Panthers were number one, like yes. across the board and all that stuff like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Those days are long gone. Down 16th overall, according to Pro Football Focus at this point. So they've, fallen down to the middle of the pack and could continue to slip depending on how the rest of this goes. And that was one of the things that I was, really kind of digging in when I was looking at this game more was just the decline of this defense. And one of the things that they're really kind of getting beat up on is the run game. Like the run game is really beating up on the Panthers right now. And then that is at least a little bit of an advantage for them, Gil, in the bet that you put in, because Atlanta has had no run game to speak of at all so far this season. I mean, quite literally one of the worst run offenses in all of the NFL. So here's the other thing about this game, guys, because we keep talking about the NFC playoff picture. One of these two teams is going to put themselves in a pretty good position to make the playoffs.
Absolutely.
Like this is a huge game. Like, I may be early to be saying that, but this is a rather large game this weekend.
Yeah, who's ever got the assignment, that's what they're going to drive home for the whole game just to keep it interesting. This is for playoff.
Oh yeah,
Front runner positions.
So the one game I wanted to bring up, Matt, is this is like I feel like we need like a teaser alert sounder. That's what we need too.
I don't have that one in.
The other one that jumped the fence here is the Colts number. So they're now back to favorite a point. See, it's about a point. I see a point and a half out there at DraftKings.
I'll tease the Titans.
That's I would love it if that gets back up to a point and a half or something like that and tease it up, pick them here at South Point. But it's Colts 1 most places here in Vegas. DraftKings, it is 1.5. So you could tease the Titans up past 7. That's one I would love to see keep moving that way because I will definitely tie the Titans into a teaser. I didn't think I was going to have a teaser this week, but if that gets there, I will.
One of the interesting – I guess maybe people saw some of the practice reports or stuff like that and Julio Jones was sitting today and maybe that is something – but, I can't imagine that has anything to do with it because it's Wednesday and typically these guys
– he's going to sit every Wednesday.
You get better in Wednesdays, and especially if Julio Jones has been dealing with a hamstring injury, you're going to get Wednesday off no matter what every single time. And if anything, it was really good news for the Titans because – Taylor Lewan practiced in full, so he's likely to get cleared from the concussion protocol, and he's going to be back in the lineup for the Titans. And so after what we saw that night where he looked, carted off, and we thought the worst, and he's probably going to play this week in this game. And so if anything, it was good on the injury report side of things for the Titans today. So I don't know. Yeah, I didn't catch that either. I mean, Kelly, I saw that. I didn't catch the reason as to why. At all in any of that. So, yeah, I'm with you. I mean, it seems to me if you look and I know people are probably just going to see that, look at the Colts and look at that win from last week, et cetera, et cetera. It's like, yeah, guys, if you watch that game, you will see. There was nothing impressive about that Colts team on either side of the ball at all. Only thing was maybe just a couple of catches from Michael Pittman.
He looked chuck it up and just draw flags.
It was like, what, a slightly better football game than the Seahawks-Saints one? I don't even know. They were both terrible.
I was going to say, you kind of mush those games together, and I might like start mixing plays up and stuff because like they were so unmemorable that it would just be like, yeah, I know. That was bad, bad.
Falcons, by the way, last in the NFL in defensive yards per point. It should be pointed out. Michael Montesano providing that stat. So that could be a foot with Dr. Bob's pick as well on that. And by the way, I wasn't going to say what my Survivor pick was this week. For those who are in Survivor contests, whether it's Circa here in Las Vegas or around the country or in your own personal Survivor pools with your buddies, whatever it is in your neighborhood, I think it's Kansas City for me this week.
I don't think that there's – I mean, it depends – you know, again, we always talk about this. It depends on the size of your pool. Yep. It depends on how many people are left in your pool and all that as to where you would go. Obviously, if you're in a smaller one or there's only a few people left, there are safer options this week. In my opinion, but I think that's the only play because you do look at the schedule moving forward.
There's not an easier game for them.
And there's not a game that you're going to feel comfortable playing them. And people are going to say like, well, I mean, you're getting the Bengals against the Jets. And I'm like, yeah, you are, but there's future value in this Cincinnati team. If you really look at their schedule moving forward, I wouldn't waste them this week. Again, if I'm trying to play to win this thing, and especially if you think that they're for real. But, I mean, there are games on Cincinnati's schedule a little bit later down. I mean, listen, it's not going to be – they're certainly not cakewalk games or anything, but they still have Pittsburgh. They still have Denver along the way. They have a Week 18 game against Cleveland. Cleveland, with the way that their injury situation is going, they might be toast by that point.
Actually used Cincinnati already, so I don't even have them as an option.
Yeah.
And then in the other case, Buffalo has Christmas considerations Thanksgiving considerations in the Circa Survivor contest that I'm in. Altuve with a leadoff double for the Astros to start the bottom of the first scoreless ball game. Urquidy wiggled out of the jam. So for me, it ends up being a Rams versus Chiefs consideration, and there's an opportunity to use the Rams later. There is not for the Chiefs.
Listen, I would not blame you if people are looking at the Cardinals. That said, Cardinals have Carolina still on the schedule. They have Chicago still on the schedule. They have Detroit still on the schedule. All three of those still for the Cardinals. I wouldn't waste the Cardinals this week.
No, and again, the Circa Cardinals have a Christmas consideration as well. So there's little quirks to your contest, but if there is not even that, those games remain on the Cardinal schedule. We'll come back. Those power rankings we spoke of, our top tens. We'll argue. We'll bicker. We'll see. It's VSiN's Primetime Action.
You are looking live at Primetime Action with Gil Alexander and Matt Brown on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Back on Primetime Action, Gil Alexander, Matt Brown, and Kelly Bidlin. The Astros draw first blood, and Alex Bregman's sack fly knocks in Jose Altuve from third base. 1-0 Astros, 2 down in the bottom of the first. Nobody on against Max Fried.
Cash my future. Let's do it.
Let's go.
Cash it.
Cash your futures tickets right now.
It's over. Let's do it.
Not good for my first five wager to start, but... Jordan Alvarez yet to step to the plate.
You're going to win this one. I have a really good feeling you're going to win this one.
Yeah, I do too.
Yeah.
Adjusted live numbers, Astros -200, Braves +165, 8.5, your live total. I just made a live bet in the NBA.
Oh, did you now?
Bucks money line.
Do tell.
-126. They are trailing the Timberwolves by 11 right now in the first quarter, 33-22. Timberwolves out to a very, very hot start, shooting 74% from the field and 67% from three.
My goodness.
Yeah.
Unsustainable?
I don't think it's going to be very sustainable. Meanwhile, Giannis is doing his thing, even though he's getting double-teamed every time down the court. He's got 9 points and 4 rebounds.
Matt, would you like to read that very self-serving tweet we just received?
We got a very, very nice tweet, and I want to go ahead and... So this is Flizzy622.
Thank you, Flizzy.
On the Twitter machine, said it's really awesome to watch you guys live on the East Coast. You guys should be on every Monday through Friday on MSG+. The knowledge you guys give is spot on. Now, I wouldn't go that far, but I would say, you know, I don't know if the knowledge is spot on.
Sometimes we run into one or two.
Yeah, yeah.
Right, yeah, yeah. 90% of the time, we're right all the time.
Yes. 60% of the time, every time, we're on it.
Seems
spot
like,
on.
Seems like an appropriate time to mention that, as a reminder, when we're not on MSG+, you can still catch the show Monday through Friday streaming on VSiN.com, YouTube TV, Sling, and Fubo TV. You like the YouTube TV, man?
I like the YouTube machine. Yeah, I watch the YouTubes a lot. Right. Yeah, okay, I good. Do.
Austin
do you have
Riley.
The YouTube TV?
I did. I do not currently.
No, yeah, Kelly does.
No. No, I
you're getting
it,
though.
I'm like, Gil, I had it. Yeah. It's like there. It's there if I need it.
If it's there, there if I need it.
Yeah. Gotcha. Gotcha. Well done, guys.
And,
well,
and soon perhaps we'll need it. I'm just saying.
One nothing at the end, at the end of that.
Jordan Alvarez did not hit the ball out of the
park. Did not, and so we are live. That said, Freddie Freeman just did not look like he was ready to hit a home run.
Well, if I learned anything from the game last night, it's that by the time this show ends, we will not even have seen our second at-bats. So, yeah.
So a little bit of sports talk radio for 10 seconds before we get to our rankings. These games last too long. They do. And a younger generation of Americans, you can't get with it. You just can't.
Oh, we'll just pull the curtain back. So the game started at 5:08 Pacific time yesterday. Mm-hmm. We did an hour and 52 minutes of the show. I left here, went and got a haircut, went grocery shopping, and then checked the score to see what the final score was and texted you two. I'm like, oh my gosh, baseball. You're only in the eighth inning? I just accomplished all of these things after the show.
It's funny. I went, I crunched tennis numbers for global tennis overnight, went to Aria, went to Cosmopolitan to make bets, went back to my apartment. I'm like, oh, we're still playing.
Oh, it's still going on.
We're still playing.
And like nothing had changed.
The most popular thing going right now with younger people is TikTok. You could watch 3,700 TikTok videos over the course of one baseball game.
That's right.
It's like they're like, why would I watch one? I can watch 3,700 TikTok videos. I'm going to do that instead of watching baseball.
Even the most pure, you know, the biggest baseball purist, and I love baseball. I do. It's too long. It's too long.
There has to be something that can be figured out.
I don't know that you can, though. It's just, that's the nature of the game. It's just inherent. Managers aren't going to not make a replacement, you know, call it from the bullpen. That's the nature of the sport. It's sort of like when we say, oh, he got flagged for playing football, right? With these, you know, rules where they're cracking down on player safety. Well, some things are just inherent to a sport. And I just think, You cannot. You can try. Hey, don't step out of the batter's box. Hey, 30-second pitch count, whatever it is. They're not enforcing any of it. They never will. Doesn't seem
we'll think of something. We fixed so many sports on this show.
That's right. We'll think of something.
Yeah, we fixed so many sports.
We got rules
on
for our
show.
Own show. We can fix rules in other sports.
By the time opening day rolls around, we will have a list of things we can do to make baseball better. No doubt about it.
All right, Matt, you're up first. Your primetime action NFL Power Rankings Top 10.
Let us do it. 1 through 5 stay the same. Bucks, Cardinals, Bills, Rams, Cowboys. Those all stay the same. For me, every single one of those teams, in my opinion, are the real contenders for the Super Bowl this year. I think those five teams are head and shoulders above everybody else. We get into the second five. Got the Packers at 6. I think this is just a placeholder for them to fall after this week. That being said, we have to rank these teams on where they are today and what they've done so far. And the Packers have gone out there and gotten it done. Whether I think that they have long-term success or not, irrelevant when I'm doing these rankings today, because that's just the way that it is. So I think the Packers are in for some regression here. The big mover, obviously, of the week. Bengals move up to number 7. And honestly think that that's probably appropriate to where they belong. I mean, this is a team that has gotten it done not only on the offensive side of the ball, but on the defensive side of the ball as well. And that is what was really surprising to me. There's two things that have really, that I think stands the test of time for this Cincy team, which is why I think they'll be there at the end. We were worried about Joe Burrow's health last year. They made some moves. They made some draft picks. They did what they had to do. They changed up some of the blocking schemes. They also changed up some of the plays that they're doing. Ball's getting out of Joe Burrow's hand a lot quicker. And teams are blitzing less. You want to know why? Do you know who the number one quarterback against the blitz is in the NFL? I think I just told you the answer.
Joseph.
It's Joe Burrow.
Burrow.
And so you're looking at this, and I think that they've got what it takes to be there towards the end. I've got the Chargers at number 8. This is just kind of a de facto move up here, because you'll notice one of the teams that was there last week is no longer there. The Titans move up to number 9. Ravens down all the way to number 10. And this isn't just an overreaction, I think, to that Bengals game. I think there are some fundamental problems with this Ravens team. as we move forward. Again, this is a team that was built on the idea and thought this all through training camp that they were going to be still a power running team. They had to change things up by necessity because of the way that the injuries fell. Then they had a ton of injuries on the defensive side of the ball. I think they ran a little bit above expectation so far. I think some regression is to come in for them as well. So that's my 10, and it looks like you and I are fairly close.
We have the same exact 10 teams reshuffled. We both have knocked the Chiefs out of our top 10. And how long would you say it's been? If we had done these power rankings for the last, since Patrick Mahomes became the starting quarterback of the Kansas City Chiefs, you'd have to probably go back before that where the Chiefs were outside of the top 10 of your power rankings.
For sure.
So that's the big news here. My top five remain the same, too. Bills were idle. Bucks beat a bad Bears team. Cardinals beat a bad Texans team. Chargers were idle. Rams beat a bad Lions team. So those top five stay the same for me. The Titans, who I've had in mind from the beginning and let the hate wash over me when I first had them at 9, people are like, what, the Titans? I got them at 6, man. Cowboys go down. They were idle. Packers go down 1 because they honestly could have lost to Washington. The Bengals move from 11, they were outside, to 9, because the Bengals have to be in there. I'm with you. They got to be a top 10 team now. And the Ravens, like you, move to 10. So we are not all that different. Chiefs are out of the top 10. Browns, largely because of injuries, are out of the top 10. And that's just how that cookie crumbles. Kelly.
Yeah, my my top five teams remain the same for now the third week in a row. I did reshuffle the Bucks and Rams, though. Went back and forth, and just I think the Bucks are just a little bit better of a team right now above the Rams. So just flip-flop from 2 and 3. Some people might say I'm looking at this a little too closely. But, yeah, they're still right there.
No one's getting
Travis Darnold.
Roll over.
Two-out solo shot.
Roll over.
Roll over on the Skins game. Belted that.
Where was that one, Isaiah?
Isaiah Von Wrinkel did not give you Isaiah, Travis Darnold.
Isaiah downstairs feeding Kelly picks.
The Timberwolves with 44 first quarter points. By the way,
the Lakers are beating the Thunder at the end of the first quarter 41-19. Is that good?
That's good. I think that's good. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, Timberwolves, it's 44-32 in Milwaukee.
Guys, 30 seconds of sports talk. Right? Are the Lakers better without LeBron?
I tell you, sometimes I roll in on the radio side on a numbers game, and we have mainstream media TVs on, and literally, like, after week two, they were like, should Justin Fields force his way out of Chicago? Like, really? You spent a half an hour on this? Oh, my goodness.
Oh, boy.
Sorry, Kelly.
Back to my
to interrupt.
Brother.
Sorry to interrupt, Kelly.
No, all good. All good. So, yeah, I thought it was kind of interesting because, Matt, you and I have the same top five, a little bit different order, although maybe it's just two teams. It might just be the top teams. Same top five. I got to be honest. To me, it's a pretty clear top five. And then after that is where it trails off. Packers. I agree with exactly what you said. To me, this week they've got to be there. Does that necessarily mean where they're going to be at next week or down the line? No, it doesn't. But right now, to me, they've got to be around there. And then it's four AFC teams, and I kind of don't really care what order you have them in because I didn't really know what order to have them in. But to me, they're the next step down, and I have Bengals, Ravens, Titans, then Chargers. You can tell me any of those four are out of order, though, and I can't really argue with that.
Yeah.
I'm glad that we have another segment for this because there's a glaring difference between you and I and Gil. Gil is much, much higher on the Chargers than you and I are.
Yep. I've also been much higher on the Titans than both of you have been. And, well, I think I feel pretty good about that. So we'll talk about that. And just the notion that we have the same 10 teams again for the second straight week. That's pretty unusual, but I think it's right. Coming back, VSiN's Primetime Action.
You are looking live at Primetime Action with Gil Alexander and Matt Brown on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Back on Primetime Action, do not forget that the Sports Betting National Championship is coming up November 5th through the 7th, and VSiN will provide coverage from the main event all weekend long, including live on-location updates for all the action. Visit VSiN.com/SBNC for more information and learn how you can enter for a chance to test your skills and win cash, including the $1 million top prize. That's VSiN.com/SBNC. Matt and I we had the opportunity to participate in the inaugural Sports Betting National Championship at DraftKings. What was that, a couple years ago now?
Yeah, 2 years ago now.
We did not win, by the way. This just in. But we had a lovely time playing. It was fun. And
I'd spent the million in my mind already, though.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, like I had already all knew exactly all the Ferraris I was going to buy.
you went Ferrari, yeah, really? Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, I didn't. But we didn't win.
Too old to get in a Ferrari now. My knees would just fall off every single time I got in that thing. I can't do it.
Yeah, that car says something about you when you drive it.
Oh, man, I'm watching. Sorry. If anybody catches, you're going to watch the highlights of this game later. In the first half, end of the first half of the Wizards-Celtics game, first half total 114.5. In the final seconds of the second quarter, the game at 114, okay? Wizards on defense force a steal up to Bradley Beal with nobody in front of him. He misses the layup, gets his own rebound because still nobody is around him, misses again.
Oh, man.
And then buzzer hits right as he's making it finally on the third attempt with, no defender around.
Did he make the third attempt in time?
Not in time. After the buzzer hit. this is an all-timer. I don't know if I've ever seen anything like this.
Sports betting is fun, ladies and gentlemen.
Like, this is a, MVP-quality player missing two bunny layups with nobody around him.
That's just awful for those who had the over. Okay, back to our power rankings. You take issue with where I rank the Chargers, Matt?
Well, I just noticed that the big difference in ours is where Kelly and I have the Chargers, and apparently our thoughts on the Chargers, and where you have the Chargers and your thoughts on the Chargers. And mainly the Cowboys that you have the Cowboys a couple of spots below them. I think where Kelly and I feel Cardinals, Bucks, Rams, Bills, Cowboys are the five kind of true legitimate Super Bowl contenders, whereas you've got the Cowboys down at 7, you've got the Chargers up at 4, so that would mean you kind of feel the Chargers are a Super Bowl contender?
Well, I didn't know we were doing this through Super Bowl contender, but what I would say is that I think coaching matters, and I think the Cowboys are largely deficient in that category. And I think if I have a game between the Chargers and the Cowboys, part of my handicap, much of my handicap, is going to be the coaching mismatch of Brandon Staley versus Mike McCarthy. And what you will see is in my group of teams, with the exception of Cliff Kingsbury, because, they're undefeated, so I can't really exclude the Cardinals, because they deserve to be where they are, certainly a top three team at a minimum. Really, I am loaded with coaches that I really like at the top. And the Cowboys, it's going to be tough for me to take the Cowboys that seriously with that as their head coach. I just don't think, I think Mike McCarthy has gotten away with so many poor coaching decisions this year. And Greg Zuerlein has bailed him out, and Dak bails him out for a living. That's the difference for me, quite frankly.
I'm okay with that response, Matt, honestly, because that is the... I wouldn't have them ranked that way. I think the Cowboys are a superior team to the Chargers, but I absolutely 100% believe and agree when you say, Gil, that at some point, McCarthy is going to rear his ugly head, and he kind of has a couple times, and get and
been
saved.
He's got
like you said,
it.
He's been bailed out by some of his players. And wouldn't it be the most Cowboys thing ever to roll into the playoffs as one of the hottest teams in the league, and then the first game make a couple just mind-blowing coaching errors, and then they're out of it right away? I feel like I can see that coming right away.
I do not believe you can buy a Cowboys Super Bowl futures ticket or an NFC futures ticket because of that factor.
We've had a lot of bad coaches win Super Bowls, though, with just superior talented teams. I mean, Doug Peterson won a Super Bowl. Gary Kubiak won a Super Bowl. No one thinks Bruce Arians is the greatest coach in the world. He'd be like media, if you were making had your power rankings, he'd be, between 14 and 16 or something like that.
Bruce Arians has the humility of delegating though to assistants very well. So
Pete Carroll won a Super Bowl.
Pete Carroll won a Super Bowl because he had an unbelievable, the fact that he only won one is really the story with Pete Carroll. Damning him with faint praise. I mean, that to me is the story with that. The fact that you could only win one with Russell Wilson on a rookie contract and the Legion of Boom. So, I mean...
Mike McCarthy also has a Super Bowl.
Mike McCarthy has a Super Bowl because he had Aaron Rodgers, yeah. So, I don't know. I mean, is it possible? Yes. But give me the Brandon Staley's and the Sean McDermott's of the world over a Mike McCarthy-led Cowboys team. Anyway, they're our own personal power ranking, so, that's where it fell for me. I don't think they're that. I mean, what was another team? I mean, I've had the Titans ranked higher than you guys. They just came off two wins over the Bills and who was this last week? Oh, the Chiefs back to back. So I feel pretty vindicated about that. And I definitely think that the, you know, a lot of my top five is also idle. So there wasn't really much movement, or they beat just really bad teams. So I didn't feel inclined to move any of them this year, this week, rather.
Yeah, I was kind of surprised when I first saw that with almost all of us, that most of the, I think, I mean, basically our top five didn't move much at all three of us. But then I thought about that. It's like either they were off or playing far inferior opponents.
Max Fried is getting dinged up left and right, and now with a throwing error, it is going to be 4-1 Astros. That?
There was no one even close to third base right there.
They got a 2-1 lead. They just got a seeing eye ground ball to make it 3-1, but a throwing error going to third. Nobody there. 4-1 Astros. They have busted this open here.
It was like he made up his mind he was throwing to third no matter what, and it didn't matter that there was no one within 12 feet of the bag.
Max Fried has not looked sharp in this game from the outset. And the Astros feel good. That's your guy Maldonado with that hit right there.
He crushed it. Look.
hit him where they ain't.
He could have rolled it right through there a little bit faster.
Ooh, that was Rosario. What was that throw? That was terrible.
Yeah, I don't know what he saw or was doing. It's like I said, it's almost like he made up his mind no matter what when he was charging the ball. That's where he was going with it, despite the fact that no one was there at third base.
Jeez. 4-1 Astros, second inning here. Other than that, was there anything else that you found noteworthy? So here's the thing again, we always bring this up when we do our power rankings. So the Browns out of the top 10 largely because of injuries. Mm-hmm. The Chiefs out because of performance. You can't keep them in the top 10 anymore.
You can't.
Where's the cliff after like 12?
And here's the thing. If you look at our 10 at this point, and people are going to say, y'all, you're speaking, you know, you're talking hyperbole. I'm not. At this point, the way that the Chiefs are performing and the way that Andy Reid is calling games and the turnovers that they keep committing, I do not think that they are a better team than any of the 10 that we have.
I don't.
That we have in our list right here.
I literally, with a survivor play, I mean, how many times do you have a double-digit home favorite in a standalone game in Survivor and you're terrified of it? Like, that should be double-digit home favorite standalone game, like a primetime game. You should be, like, coasting with a pick like that in Survivor. I know, Giants. There's Giants fans listening who are like, don't be worried, you know. Yeah. But I am, because I just don't trust that D at all. And Mahomes has thrown a pick in six straight games. He has co-leader for most interceptions of the NFL with Zach Wilson. Both of them have 9.
I know what people are going to say. They're going to say, you're trying to tell me that you like the Bengals over the Chiefs right now. You give me Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase and Tyler Boyd and T. Higgins and Joe Mixon against that defense with the way that the Bengals are playing defense right now as well, that they're not going to be able to hold Patrick Mahomes and this offense to, you know, having to punt 2 or 3 times. I think that's all they have to do.
They just got crushed by the Titans.
I mean, this wouldn't even be a huge surprise for anybody who watched ours last week, because Gil, I might be wrong. I think you had them the worst, but did you have them at 10? I think you had them at 9 or 10, the Chiefs.
10.
Yeah, I think it was 10.
I believe I received some flack for that last
You
might
week. Have. You probably did.
I
don't remember.
So I don't think it was.
But like you and I had, we're even holding on to that hope. I think it literally was after this past weekend where it's like, all right, we've seen enough now. Like it's been multiple situations where we thought they were going to storm back and look good. And yes, do I think they can still beat up on some of the worser teams in the league? Yes. But when we've seen them face good competition, they haven't lost. Like they've lost badly with some of these games. And so I think they're rightfully on the outside. Now, are they even 11 or 12 to you guys?
They got to be 12, I think.
They're certainly 12, okay. I think.
11 or 12. You could interchange them and the Browns. It doesn't really matter because they're kind of both in the same thing right now to me. I think both of them are, you know, just teams that aren't, again, that are inferior to the 10 that we have.
The Browns, largely because of injuries, though.
I mean, we just don't know what they are. When they've got the injuries they have, you just don't know what they are.
After 12, and I'm not sure, maybe it's even after 10, maybe it's after 11. It's a pretty sizable cliff for me. Like I couldn't tell you.
Saints, Vikings.
Right.
There is a disrespect by all of us for the Raiders in this.
There is, yes. And that's a 5-2 team that none of us have even mentioned.
And there is some disrespect there. I should come around. Maybe I'm being a little, maybe I'm holding on to my priors.
We'll come back. We'll talk some college football. Pete Futak next. Beeson's Primetime.